The guy I'm playing actually has an absolutely trash team, but he's still going to beat me. Like, he has the worst team. Not worst, but he just has a lot of players that are, like, I would say fringe players.
Yeah.
And he's still going to beat me.
Well, if you wouldn't draft drug addicts, you'd be fine.
Yeah, you know how desperate I am now? I'm only getting players that are efficient, like, that hopefully don't shoot much. I'm trying to get big men and guys who steal the ball. That's basically what I'm going
Jabari for. Jabari Parker.
Yeah, he was taken.
Did you pick up Eric Pascal yet?
No, everyone picked him up.
Damn.
Yeah, man, that guy's way gone by now.
Yeah, I was picked up 2 days ago.
Is Tristan Thompson gone?
Yeah.
That's my guy. Tristan, I'm ahead of the game on that. Teams, not so much.
It's too late. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line I have my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Just remember, the Raptors are still champions.
Yeah, whatever. I think everyone's already forgotten. Banger in the paint, Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
Let's not get into it. Let's just say I have both John Collins and DeAndre Ayton on my fantasy team.
You got a bunch of drug addicts, Doc.
I'm calling Jaren Jackson Jr. next. Like, he's on my team. He was like my next pick, so he's the next to go for 25 games.
Oh no, that would actually be amazing. You should just change your team name to HGH.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, like, who do you guys think is going to be the next one? Because it seems like the NBA is ramping this up now. This is not a joke anymore.
And it seems like the young guys are getting like. A little getting caught.
Wilson Chandler ain't so young, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was
Wilson Chandler's the originator of this year.
Yeah, but he was bugging out before last year. He's not part of the 2019-2020 season.
This is true. It's gonna be someone really random.
Like, I know it's gonna be.
Who do you think?
Devontae Graham from Charlotte. He's playing really well this year, and he was trash last year.
He's playing too well. He's got to be on drugs.
He's going to be tested after this game tonight. He's playing really well today.
We're recording on Tuesday night right now. Devontae Graham, eh? That's your guy? I'm going to go with someone on the Spurs.
Nah.
Like Bryn Forbes.
Yeah, Jakob Poeltl's looking pretty jacked right now. So.
Yeah, that guy's always been jacked. Oh, okay, I got one. Myers Leonard.
Yeah, he's always jacked.
Nah.
Yeah. But he's got so much energy, man. This guy's got to be on something.
None of these guys are my...
Jakob is yoked.
None of these guys are my fantasy team, so... Like, it's sorry. I have to go through the list. Like, I'm thinking DeLon Wright, Jaren Jackson Jr., maybe Thomas Bryant. You know what? That's my pick, Thomas Bryant.
Ooh, that's a good pick. I like that. Next up.
Or it goes in the complete opposite direction. You know, LeBron's already started the year pretty poorly on the social media side of things. And just in general with the media. So maybe he's next.
Yo, would you be surprised if that actually came out as a thing?
No. Hell no. They would change the rules. They'd be like, this substance is now permitted.
Straight up steroids allowed now because of LeBron.
Yeah, Barry Bonds did it. Why can't LeBron?
Yeah, but Barry Bonds didn't stand for the people, Josh.
That's true.
LeBron stands for everybody except, you know, people who mess with his money.
And people in Hong Kong.
Who potentially mess... Not with his money, but Daryl Morey messes with his money, you know? This guy. All right, well, you might be wondering why we were off last week. We were actually celebrating. Woo! Someone here got married. How about that?
Married again.
How you feeling? How you feeling, Josh?
Pretty much the same as I did last week. Nothing's really changed.
Just wishing you didn't have to sit through a ceremony on Sunday evening? Watch the games with your boys instead?
It was pretty fun, actually. The day went by pretty quickly.
It was a good time. It was a very fun time.
The food was bomb, too.
What's that?
The food was very bomb as well.
Did you get to eat?
I did, actually. This is like the first wedding I've actually ate at in like the last, well, I guess, pretty much ever, actually.
Wow.
Because most of the time, I'm just like drinking my face off and talking to people. I never finish my meal. But this time, I made it a point to actually eat.
And you didn't drink that much.
Yeah, you had to keep that alcohol down.
I drank a fair amount, just not as much as usual.
It was highly disappointing, man. I'm not going to lie.
Sorry to disappoint you again.
Maybe it's all that food that he ate that kept all that alcohol down.
It must have been. I had so much cake.
All right. Anyways, well, let's get this started. We're going to talk about some teams that we're, you know, a little happy with, a little disappointed with. We're 2 weeks into the season, so we're well beyond the point of, you know, is this take too early? I don't know, Raj, what do you think? Who do you have for a team that you're, let's start off on a high note, who are you pleasantly surprised with?
Should I go obvious here? Because that's what I'm thinking. Like, I think
do whatever you want, man.
Actually, I guess you sort of have to.
I think we all have the same obvious team.
Well, no, there's two obvious teams in here, like East or West. How about that? I'll give you the option.
Let's go East.
East. All right. Well, I'm pleasantly surprised with Miami. I did not expect them to be as explosive on offense, and I didn't expect their team to gel, especially with Jimmy Butler missing so many games starting off the season, and like a lot of, like, even Winslow was like out for a few, and there were a lot of new pieces like Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn. So I didn't expect them to come off with the start they have now. And even their role players like Kelly Olynyk, Myers Leonard, like they're doing their job, and this team is shaping up to be a real good team in the East, and probably solidified themselves even this early as a strong contender for a playoff spot.
Yeah, and I think the whole talk about them, you know, possibly acquiring Chris Paul is now out the door, because the lineups they've been putting out there, even without Justice Winslow being out the last couple of games, have been working, and the rookies have really stepped up. Kendrick Nunn's been unbelievable, and obviously Tyler Hero has been,
a hero,
flash in the pan, really. I mean,
just say it. He's a hero.
He is. I don't want to say that. I don't know if it's going to keep up with those two rookies, but their lineup is really, really, you know, coming together. And, you know, Coach Spoelstra has really done a great job, as he always does. You know, having Myers Leonard in the starting lineup, and these guys are 5-1. That's just unbelievable.
Well, we just talked about Myers Leonard being on HGH.
So. He's actually played really well. He's got 10 points already today, too, in 6 minutes.
Yo, he's a beast.
He's definitely getting tested after today, too.
Why did Portland let him go? That's a real question. They could use him right now.
Hassan Whiteside. Anytime you get traded for Hassan Whiteside's $33 million contract, you have to do it.
Harsh.
Just casual $33
million. Yo, who do you think is leading the Miami Heat in assists right now?
Like total or?
Not in the game, but like in the season so far. Per game, obviously.
Per game? I was going to say Winslow, but he's been out, so I don't know. I would say Kendrick Nunn.
Kendrick Nunn is currently sitting at 3 assists a game.
Yeah, not that very, definitely did.
Not very much.
Winslow is probably leading the team.
Yeah, Winslow is at 5.8. Jimmy Butler is at 7.3, but he's only played in like 3 games.
Yeah, that's a bit of bias in the stats there.
And
but
the team leader that ESPN has, Bam Adebayo at 5.2 assists a game. Oh. Wow. So as we've seen from the Nuggets, if you have your center as one of your leading assist men, you're probably doing something really right. Like, the ball movement is good. The young players are all hitting big shots. Like you guys said, Kendrick Nunn and Hero are absolutely killing it. How about that Hero pick for Rookie of the Year? I can be your hero, baby. Know what I'm saying?
How about it?
Yeah, man, looking pretty good.
He's not gonna get it, but yo, this kid's killing it. He's crazy out there.
I think Kendrick Nunn's been better than him too.
Yeah, he has been, but Kendrick Nunn is older.
Yeah, and I think the way that Hero's been playing, it's hard to not play him more minutes. Like, he's fitting in the offense. He's putting an effort on defense, and he's what, only 19 years old. Like, he's a 2000s baby, for crying out loud. So like, it's just crazy to see these young guys step into their roles, and he's probably going to average like 25 minutes a game for the rest of the season at minimum, probably.
You know what the best part of all this is? They've barely played James Johnson and Dion Waiters. We all thought that going into this year, like, Dion Waiters, you know, he's ready to have a big year again. He's finally healthy. Nah. Both these guys show up to training camp fat, overweight, not ready to play. Dion Waiters is complaining that rookies are playing ahead of him during preseason, of all things. Like, come on.
How has nobody coined the term fat management for these guys?
I mean, James Johnson is a black belt. I don't think anyone actually wants to call him fat to his face.
Well, Pat Riley did, and that's why he's been sitting out this entire time.
That's true. You think Coach Spo is early candidate for rookie or a coach of the year? Or one
of? Oh, yeah.
Most definitely.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. How do you... Okay.
Well, actually, I don't know. I mean, Monty Williams and Phoenix is also on the same, you know, trajectory.
Do you give any love to Coach Nick Nurse for chirping his players constantly, saying that none of them are good at defense? I love
how he keeps switching it up every week.
What do you mean?
I bet you he just, like, has, like, a big bowl of weed every night, and he's like, who am I going to insult tomorrow? Let's just go with Pascal, you know? I haven't really insulted him yet, so, yeah, let's talk about his fouls, of all things. The guy's averaging, like, 30 points a game.
They're all fouls, Josh, so you know. Nick Nurse went to the Phil Jackson School of Coaching, throwing everything out to the media and letting them do his dirty work for him.
I mean, if only he could turn Norman Powell into a player, then he'd really have something. You should just call Norman Powell up for sucking in general.
Just being trash.
Yeah. Norman so harsh, Suckle. Man.
Okay, how long until other teams figure out how to stop Kendrick Nunn? Apparently the best player on this team. I'm thinking about a month from now.
Yeah, I think he's obviously, the novelty of him is going to wear off. But I think the great thing about Miami is like, they have so many different options on who's running that point. Like, they have Winslow. Like, Jimmy's going to handle the ball late in quarters. Like, they don't have a conventional point guard that's going to be really handling the rock for all four quarters. And they have options. Like, people are forgetting about Dragic as well. Like, they have, like, four players right now that can be your point guard and probably run the offense that Eric Spoelstra wants to run.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do at the trade deadline. And if they keep it up to where they're, like, a top three or four seed, do they just go for it and try to get another scorer or another player that can really help them in the starting lineup?
I'm assuming the answer is yes.
I mean, it was Miami, so they're known for trading picks for players. And I think the one spot they have to, have to really look at is a power forward position. Mm-hmm. And even though Myers Leonard is playing like a Greek god right now.
He's Hercules, bro. I have to
look
bro.
At guys like, you know, Gallinari, guys who are going to be available at the power forward position and, you know, trying to go for it.
Gallinari on this team would be pretty nice. That would be a very good fit. Offensively, at least. I don't know about defensively, because he's kind of slow-footed, but Bam could protect that rim very easily if Gallinari's out there with him.
I don't think Gallo's as bad as you say on defense. I think he's actually pretty good.
He's slow. He's got a good wingspan, but he's just slow. Like, yeah, his feet just move slow.
Italian.
Yo. Yeah, he's too much pasta for him. Slowing him down.
Well, they have like 8-course meals, so, you know.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad life to live, my friend. All right, quick prediction. Where do these guys end up at the end of the season? What seed?
I'm going to say fourth.
Joshua? Third seed.
Third seed. Hot damn. All right, then. I'm going to go around like four as well. All right, moving on. Josh, who you got as your pleasantly surprising team so far?
Well, I guess we can do Phoenix if you'd like. Phoenix just having, you know, competitive players who play really hard around Devin Booker is actually it's a formula that actually has worked so far. And obviously Monty Williams instituted his systems on both sides of the ball. There's a lot more cutting, especially with their offense in Phoenix. Guys aren't actually just standing around watching Devin Booker do everything. And they're taking advantage of mismatches. I mean, guys like Kaminsky and Aaron Baines have started the season pretty well on offense, especially Baines, who's like just destroying from three right now. Yeah, I mean, replacing DeAndre Ayton with Aaron Baines has been a positive one so far. As we know, I mean, Ayton actually looks like he takes PEDs, even though he didn't actually take PEDs.
So you but, think.
Well,
kidding.
Yeah, he was masking something with what he took, from what I read. But, yeah, he looks like, I mean, going back to the Greek god thing, but he looks like he's a gladiator.
Really but, milking that.
So does Aaron Baines, actually. Maybe he's going to get tested next, too. Yo,
Aaron Baines.
Baines is a Viking, man.
Skull. Yeah, true.
Skull.
I mean, he's huge, and he's played absolutely amazing so far, and he's really passing the ball well, too. Talking about Bam Adebayo, I think Aaron Baines is averaging like 4 assists a game, too.
Yeah, 3.6.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus. Adding Rubio as well, just having competent players on defense and not really having holes besides Booker, who's actually playing really hard on defense now. Like, I watched the game yesterday, and he was actually, like, really competing. He's still bad on defense, but at least he's trying.
Can't just compliment the guy. No. Eh?
He could have just left that at, like, oh, he's trying, but nah, he sucks, though.
But you want to talk about one guy who, like, absolutely destroys the same team over and over and over again? I think Devin Booker's averaging like 38 points a game against Philadelphia in his career.
Seriously?
Yeah, despite them being like an amazing defensive team, he just eats them up every time he plays them.
I mean, wow. I guess he just really hates Ben Simmons, doesn't he?
In the fourth quarter yesterday, he just made Ben Simmons his bitch. He had some hesitations where Ben Simmons just got lost and he had like 4 feet of space to shoot. And I think he went like 16 for 20 from the field yesterday.
Jeez.
No way.
It was, yeah, I think it was actually 16 for 20. He was incredible yesterday.
Man, I don't
I'm looking it up right now. He was
15 for 19. 15 Holy for 19. Shit.
There you go. Jeez.
This guy went 79% from the field.
Oof. 75% from three. Ugh.
I mean, that's pretty efficient. He had 5 personal fouls, though. Like, get it together. Yeah.
Have to look at the one bad stat.
Yeah, I'm learning from you. And 3 turnovers? Oh, man. That assist to turnover ratio is awful.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, get it together. Who would have thought that giving Devin Booker some real NBA players would actually help his game, eh?
Yeah, I was never in the camp that said that he was a stat padder and he wouldn't be a winning player. You can just see the talent like just oozing from him, you know?
And yeah, he just
needed the right coach.
Just because you have a lot of talent doesn't mean that you're not just a stat padder.
No, for sure, but at the same time, like, he just seemed like the type that he just needed a cohesive unit around him, and that's what they're finally, you know, putting together in Phoenix. But I'm still not fully a believer yet. But I mean, they are 7th in defensive efficiency and like 10th in offensive efficiency, so pretty good start so far for them.
Are they this year's Denver Nuggets?
Ooh, I think that's high praise. Mm. That's very high praise. I think
Denver's got so much more talent than them.
Sorry, how many players deep does Phoenix go? I'm looking at 8, 9, like, good players.
It depends what your definition of good is, because a lot of these guys, you're like, I don't think they play for a lot of these teams, yet they're playing well for this team, so it's like, maybe there are players, you know?
That's what I mean, like, Kaminsky, Tyler Johnson, Dario Saric, all these guys, well, not Tyler Johnson, but Kaminsky and Saric haven't had good years in, like, 2 or 3 years. And suddenly they get here with Monty Williams, and they're playing well. Dario Saric is actually playing good defense. I haven't seen Dario Saric play defense since his rookie year, and even then it was shaky at best.
Yeah, and the guy who started off the season like hot like fire was Javon Carter, a guy that nobody's even heard of, who played last year. I mean, I can remember what team he played for last year, but he was terrible last year. Like, he couldn't make a shot. And now he's like, he's got a pretty decent 3-point shot now, and he's making shots to start the year anyway. Not the last 3 games, but overall.
You couldn't remember what team he's on, except he was having an awful year last year.
I just remember watching him, like, he was afraid to shoot the ball, and when he shot it, it was, like, air ball every time.
Yeah. Oh, you still don't remember what team he was on, do you?
No.
It's a Western Conference team, low seed. Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, Memphis, yeah.
But one interesting thing about Phoenix is if you look at their schedule thus far, like, the teams that they've lost to were Denver and Utah by combined 2 points. And they've actually beaten some quality opposition. Like, they beat the Clippers. They beat Philadelphia last night. They've actually won the games they're supposed to win. So, like, for considering, I think we all had Phoenix in a situation where they're going to be, like, a bottom dweller 13, 14, 15 seed. Like, they've been very surprising. And let's see if they can keep this up and teams figure them out. But they're off to a hot start.
Yeah, I totally had them as, like, definitely out of the playoffs, like a 10th seed. I don't know. I think they need Ayton back.
Yeah, I'm going to say that they're this year's version of the Memphis Grizzlies.
What?
Because Memphis last year was one of the top teams after like 10 games.
Oh, yeah, true. And then they became awful right after.
Yeah, I just don't see this lasting for an entirety of 82 games. I don't think there's enough talent, especially with Ayton missing 25 games. And I don't think Devin Booker is going to be shooting like 70% every game.
Wait, are you Are you talking about your fantasy team or the Phoenix Suns?
Well, you might as well talk about both in that sense, because I'm winning no games.
That's rough, man. Oh, well. Okay. Quickly, where do you think they'll end up at the end of the year? What seed? Do they make the playoffs? The real question at hand here.
No. I think they end up in the... With their hot start, I think they're going to end up in the 12 seed, 12-13.
To him.
Jeez. Harsh.
Yeah, that is harsh. I was going to go like 9-10.
No, I think the other teams are better.
Yeah, but somebody's got to be the 8 seed, right?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, we already knocked off Golden State, who we all had in the playoffs at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, no,
So it could be them.
Yeah, I think right now, like, the bottom teams still in the West are Memphis, we'll get to that later, but I just don't think that Phoenix can put it together consistently. Like, if you look at their roster, they have a bunch of, I wouldn't say inconsistent players.
White guys.
Well, yes.
Just say it, white guys.
yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, yeah, that too.
But they have inconsistent players. Like, they have players that were never, like, the number one or two option on their team. Like, you've seen, like, very good glimpses of them, but you haven't seen them do it for a long duration, and I think teams will figure them out.
Josh, where do you think they'll end up?
You know what? Let's give them the 8 seed.
Oh, look at you. How nice.
Yeah.
Give it to them. I want to see Aaron Baines in the playoffs.
Phoenix is going to be in the playoffs this year.
That would be fun. I don't see it, but that would be very fun. Man, this is a very white team. Sorry, I'm just looking at their players now, and there's like maybe 4-5 black dudes on the team at most. All right, well, moving on. Since you guys took the main two, who do you want to talk about? You want to talk about your Mavericks? I don't want to talk about the Lakers or the Clippers because everyone does them. Let's talk about the Timberwolves instead.
Can we just do one thing with the Mavericks? I mean, I thought someone was going to bring them up, so I had this clip pulled up. Are we ready?
Go for it.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Thank you. I had to play the Nate Diaz, I'm not surprised, motherfucker clip.
Jesus Christ. Okay, let's talk about the Mavericks then. I mean, it sounds like you're much more excited about them than the Timberwolves. I think everyone is.
I mean, they should
be
6-0 right now. I mean, they're 4-2 on the season. They lost two games they should have won. I mean, they had one game against Portland where they, you know, reversed a call against Damian Lillard, where they had the coach's challenge where it actually worked out for Portland, where he was called for a foul and then they challenged it and they reversed the call, which was the wrong call. And they lost that game. And then the Lakers, Dwight Howard holds, I think it was Seth Curry, where Danny Green got that wide open three in the corner to tie the game. So two missed calls cost them two games, and they should be 6-0 right now. They're the top offensive team in the league right now.
Well, to be fair, they should not have won that Portland game. You just said they made the right call.
No, they made the wrong call by reversing it.
No, I thought that was the right call.
No, it was the right call.
Yeah.
It was a clean strip.
I don't think that was conclusive. I think you have to go with the original call in that case, because I don't think that was conclusive.
I understand the argument, but if you look at the play itself as like an isolated incident, most people would say that wasn't a foul.
Yeah, but again, it's based on the rules, right? Yeah. Like, it has to be conclusive evidence, so...
Yeah, I understand where the conclusion... Like, that's the tough part with the replays in all sports. It's what's called on the field and, like, was it called with how much certainty? And I understand the rules. Like, I get it. I just think that they can't be that mad because he really did win the ball cleanly.
So are we looking at Luka Doncic MVP?
Oh, it's coming. Maybe not this year, but it's coming.
Yo, my man's averaging almost a triple-double at this point, 6 games into the season.
He's actually like the fun version of James Harden.
Yeah, or I would even say Russell Westbrook, but probably more like James Harden because he can actually shoot consistently.
No, the next Russell Westbrook is on Memphis.
Oh my god, you saw him try to poster yesterday?
Yeah, that was like probably the best highlight of the year so far, despite him missing it.
Ja attacks. God, it looked like he broke his back midair.
I did not see
that. That's a Cirque du Soleil performer.
He tried to bang on him.
I mean, good for him. How good is this Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis combination? In terms of duos in the league, are we giving them like a top 5 duo?
I mean, so far they have been, and Porzingis has been somewhat rusty on offense, but defensively he's been really good. Like, he was already really good in New York, obviously, but he's been a serious factor, and he's blocking a ton of shots.
2.7, yeah. I mean, he's like a 7'3 mobile big man. It kind of makes sense that he's a good defender.
Yeah, but you still have to, like, know where you're going and, you know, be able to move your feet properly against guards. And he's done a pretty good job so far.
DeLon Wright, third on the team in scoring at 10.8 points. Your boy.
Yeah, that's the one issue they have, which a lot of people are talking about. Is they're really one start away from contention, but they should be in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, they could use literally anyone to step up. I think that's going to be the only issue, is that when it comes down to crunch time and teams zero in on Porzingis or Doncic, like, Luka's not going to hit step-back threes every game. You know what I mean?
He'll hit a few.
Some points he's going to miss.
Yeah, yeah. But I think all, like, in the bigger picture, like, they do need a bit more consistent tertiary scoring. So it'll be interesting. I think Dallas also, like, they're playing the long game. Like, they want Doncic and Kristaps to be healthy, like, well managed. So I can see them slipping in the rankings a little, but I think they're going to make the playoffs surprisingly. I thought there would be a little more of a fringe team, but I think they're going to be a lock to be like the sixth seed.
Ooh, suck it, Raj.
Yeah, suck it, Raj. Told you.
Oh man, Raj, you've been got a lot of L's this summer.
Yeah, yeah.
Justice Winslow is killing it. The Mavericks are killing it.
You know what? Justice Winslow is on my fantasy team, so I can dig it.
All right, I like that. I like that. Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start. to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. Moving on, we're going to look at who we're disappointed in. I think this will have a little bit more differentiation in who we talk about. Raj, why don't you start it off?
All right. Well, I'm going to go with the team that maybe you guys wanted to talk about, but I'm a bit disappointed in Sacramento. I think last year they were on like their path to getting towards the playoffs. They were a young, exciting, fast-paced team. I think the rest of the NBA kind of caught up with them in terms of the pace, and now the rest of the NBA is just doing it more efficiently than them. And if you look at like the teams they've lost to, like a lot of them are playoff teams. Like, we're looking at like teams like Utah, Denver, Portland, but then they've also lost against Charlotte at home. And
harsh.
Yeah, and that's just the loss that you can't have on your resume if you're trying to make the playoffs. Good on them for getting two wins this past week against a Utah team, and also beating up on a Knicks team. But I'm just a bit surprised of this team. Obviously, they have a few injuries, mainly starting at the power forward position. Like, Bagley got hurt early on in the season, and it looks like he's going to miss some extended time. And he was supposed to be like pretty much like their second scorer with Buddy Hield. And they've had some surprise. Like, I think Rashawn Holmes, don't know much about him, but he's been playing well this year. But this team should be in the playoffs. They're just disappointing. Like, they had that one or two bad losses on their resume. They don't look like they're in a position to make the playoffs, and I don't see them getting out of this funk. Like, I really do see them ending up as a team with like 25 wins on the year.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
25 to 30, maybe.
I mean, that's ooh. Pretty low. I think like 30 to 35. 25 is hella low.
Okay, I have to bring up a trend as to why they are as bad as they are right now.
So, I know it.
Is it Coach Luke Walton? Team that goes to like India or China in the preseason they start out the year really slow because of the jet lag and just being super tired from like having to travel to another country, especially that far away. So both Indiana and Sacramento started the year 0-3, and they were the teams that went to India this year.
Toronto
went to Japan?
Yeah, Toronto and Houston went to Japan.
I guess they were treated better over there.
Hey, but nothing wrong with India. This is gotta make this makes the podcast.
Didn't Philly go somewhere this summer? Or was that last year?
I don't think Philly went anywhere.
I don't think so.
No.
It was the Lakers and the Nets in China, right? Yeah, the Lakers are off to a good start. Nets, whatever. It's Kyrie. I don't think anyone thought they would hit it off immediately. I don't know about your theory, Josh.
I think Sacramento's going to be fine. I mean, once they get Bagley back, I think they'll still be competing for, like, maybe not the 8 seed, but they might be, actually. I mean, the 8 seed is not really locked down by any means so far.
Yeah,
and they've won 2 games in a row, I think, now. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it back. I'm going to say that they're going to end up with 30 wins. Probably end up with the, like, 11 seed.
Are we sure that Coach Luke Walton is good?
Are we sure? What a great question.
I don't know, man. He gets a lot of praise for a guy who hasn't really done much.
Well, when you have that Golden State team and you win, like, I don't know, like 30 straight or whatnot.
Yeah, with like a freaking revolutionary team here, you know, it's not too difficult to just let these guys play ball.
Yeah, no, I think he's just riding the high, and I think this is the team where his coaching will be really like determined. I think in LA he was a bit out of his scope, and obviously the star power and the dynamics of how that was working, like, you can make a case that that's not the best to assess how good of a coach he is. But in Sacramento, like, there's not as much pressure. He has a young team. They should be listening to him. They were a playoff bubble team last year. I think they ended up the year with like 39 wins. Yeah, so if he hits anywhere close to 30, like I think we're gonna have doubts about his coaching style.
Yeah, there was talks about them firing him after like 3 games, which is hilarious to me.
It would have been the most Sacramento thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, they fired Coach Malone when he was 500 after half a season, so.
And their superstar player loved him. Don't forget that part.
Yeah, I mean, look at why not pay out 4 years, whatever they paid him, $30 million after 3 games? Why not?
Silly, man. I don't know. I don't buy this whole Luke Walton craze. I just haven't seen anything good out of it. It doesn't seem like he's drawing up very good plays. Team doesn't seem very motivated when they're out there until like the last, you know, game and a half maybe. And one of the games is against the Knicks, so who really cares? I'm not convinced.
I blame the Indian trip for that.
Hey. for motivation? Sure, no, I guess.
I mean, like, I think it more has to do with the management, because they built a team where they signed Dwayne Dedman for way too much money, and Corey Joseph got $11 million a year. And
Trevor Ariza, Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, yeah. Trevor Ariza's been bad the last couple of years. I mean, in theory, it seemed okay, because, you know, you supposedly go 10 deep, but it doesn't really seem that way anymore.
You know what they should do? They should have an overpaid lineup with Corey Joseph, Dwayne Dedman, and Harrison Barnes, and Trevor Ariza, and then you just plug someone in at the two, and probably Buddy Yield. And then you have the overpaid.
Ouch.
And then you have the overpaid lineup.
I mean, that would be very Sacramento of it. Can we get Chris Paul on this team?
How dare you?
Maybe John Wall?
Yeah, John Wall, please.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at that at all. All right, Josh, you got disappointing team. Give us something good here.
Now, for me, it has to be my Chicago Bulls. I mean, I picked them for the playoffs this year. And so far, they have not gotten off to a great start.
To say the least, no. I have a question. Why aren't they playing Thomas Satoransky more?
I don't know. It seems like every team he goes to, or every team that he plays on in general, just doesn't play him enough. He's a good player,
understand.
But he also hasn't really been that aggressive while he has played, though.
It seems like Boylan is really favoring Kobe White, and who's their other is Chris Dunn their other point guard?
Yeah, they play both those guys off the bench together, which also is a problem.
Jesus Christ, man. Chris, usually when you run a two-point guard system, you want like smart point guards, right? Not Chris Dunn.
And not that, Kobe White.
Yeah,
not the best combination. I don't like it at all. This team is so weird.
Yeah, it's
how do you think?
It's just weird. Like,
yeah, it makes no sense. How's Zach LaVine doing, my boy?
He's been okay so far, but he hasn't taken the step up a lot of people projected.
Did they also go to China or like India, like that I didn't know about, or is this?
Maybe they took a side trip, and that's why they're so tired.
No, man, they. Yeah, they sort of just look like they don't really know what they're doing. And having Otto Porter Jr. out there for that extended period of time can't really help either.
I'm looking at like the main reason why that they've struggled, and it looks like the main reason is just rebounding and effort. Because right now, they're the worst team in the NBA in terms of rebounding percentage. And I mean, when you have a front court of Wendell Carter and Lauri Markkanen, I mean, they're super talented players, but so far they haven't shown the propensity to really battle guys in the paint.
They need.
It is kind of a small lineup, right? Why don't they, you know, Raj, why don't they play your boy Thaddeus Young?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, he's wasted talent on the bench there, like, just Mr. Consistency in terms of fantasy. But yeah, no, I think the whole dynamic of that team is, it's just off. Like, they have good players. It's just it's like a puzzle. The pieces don't really fit together. And I don't know if it's going to like fix itself, but I feel like they've kind of got blown out a few times. I believe against the Raptors, they got blown out. I don't know. Like I thought they would be a little better. I don't know if I consider them a playoff team, but I thought they would be like more of a like 8 to a 10 spot. But yeah, they lost to Cleveland. They lost to the Knicks. Like,
so sad.
They lost to Charlotte on opening night. Like,
I think they had the easiest schedule to open up first five games.
Yeah, they beat Memphis by like,
oh
a
my
bit.
God.
But yeah, there's no excuses. Like when they start playing like the powerhouse in the West, like I know they're playing the Lakers tonight, but like soon they're gonna end up playing the Utahs and the Clippers and the Portlands and teams that are like well run, maybe even Dallas, dare I say. Like I don't know what's gonna happen with Chicago.
You're damn right, Dallas. Suck it, Raj.
Hey Josh. Why did you think this team would actually make the playoffs? Like, what convinced you that the Bulls would be that good this year?
I just thought their starting lineup was really good for the East, anyway. It seemed like all the parts fit. If Satoransky, you know, ran the offense and played like he did last year with Beal, Zach LaVine takes a step up, Markkanen takes a step up, Carter continues his trajectory in the games that he did play for his rookie season, and then you added Thaddeus Young, who was another adult in the room. And Kobe White seemed like he was a player coming out of the preseason. It seemed like it would all work. They had enough players, but so far it hasn't. But who knows? I mean, they're up 13 against the Lakers right now, so maybe they're going to turn their season around.
Yeah, Josh, it seems like you were wrong.
Well, you can't tell me to suck it yet because the Bulls are still making the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they will. Sorry, man. Not when Otto Porter is like a primary piece of your offense.
Yeah, and not when they have to play like Charlotte like three or four times a year.
Yeah, I don't know what you saw in this team, man. Like I understand what your thought process is, but having a front court relying on Wendell Carter and Lauri Markkanen to anchor a defense, not the best idea. Considering Carter didn't play more than half these games last year in his rookie year. Like he didn't even have time to really adjust to the NBA.
Yeah, and he's a bit thin for the center position right now, too. They're probably just another year and a bit away. And their management sucks, so that doesn't help.
As usual.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. RIP 2019-2020 Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, it's not over yet.
Yeah, it will be soon enough. Yeah, when you lose to the Cavs, the Knicks, and the Hornets, your season's pretty much dead.
I think it is believable that they make the playoffs this year.
I think you're full of bullshit.
I am not full of bull-oney, okay?
Oh, God. I hate you both so much. All right, well, I'm going to pull like a wild card here with my disappointing team. The Denver Nuggets, Josh. How about that? Why, you ask? You didn't ask, but I'll just tell you why anyways.
Why?
Thanks. Nikola Jokic looks like he's like 30 pounds overweight, right?
He is. I'm not crazy here. Overweight.
Jesus Christ,
he's,
man.
He's been 30 pounds overweight.
Yo, last year, he kind of looked like he was slimming down like towards the playoffs.
No, he's like 30 pounds on top of 30 pounds overweight.
My man must have been drinking like a 2-4 of Coke every day.
Get in my belly!
To show up in the way that he did to training camp. Like during the World Cup this summer, kind of looked a little thick, but you know, you can let it pass. But right now, my God, this guy's just lumbering up and down the court. He can't really move. He's not really getting the team involved. Like he's trying to, but the cuts just aren't working. The passes aren't getting there. Like, this team is just awful right now to watch. That being said, they are 4-2, so, you know, you can only criticize so much, but Jesus.
You know, Khabib Nurmagomedov, he fought bears. It seems like Jokic ate a bear this offseason. Whole.
Just ate a grizzly bear?
That's what it looks like. He's huge!
Yeah,
he actually looks like a truck out there. A really fat truck.
Not to get confused with the skinny trucks out there.
Nah. He is not a Japanese truck, that's for sure. When he first came back to training camp, I was like, oh, you know, like he's 23, 24. I can understand why he's a little thicker. He's growing into his body. But my man is massive. And he looks slow on defense. He can't even push the ball on offense anymore. I think that's one of the main reasons this team isn't really flowing as well. He's just, like, they want to run it through him. They want him to push the ball, but he can't. He's just got to rely on long outlet passes and then Jamal Murray to facilitate the offense otherwise. It's kind of weird. And then at the same time, they're trying to integrate Michael Porter Jr. and Jeremy Grant, who I think should be playing a bit more than like 23 minutes a game. Come on, man. This team should be a lot better. Everyone thought they were going to be like a top 3 seed in the West by the end of the year. At this rate, they're not going to have home court advantage.
Yeah, but I think we got to make sure that we're not overreacting. Like, if you look at their losses, they did beat up some good teams, and they lost to a Mavericks team in a relatively close game. I wouldn't start overreacting. I think the one bad loss on their record is losing to the Pelicans. But Denver's a very good home team, and as long as their home record is very good, like winning over like 75-80% of their games at home, like almost, they're gonna be a top 4 team in the West. And they have a tough stretch of games upcoming. Like they play some playoff teams. They play the Sixers, they play the Timberwolves, the Celtics, the Rockets. Like not all in a row. Like they have some easy matches, but I think Denver is in a situation where they just want to make top 4, but they want to know their best lineup and also know how the pieces around them fit. Because right now they still have like Torrey Craig, Will Barton, Michael Porter Jr., Jeremy Grant. And how are you going to put these players in situations where that you're maximizing the potential from them and making sure that everyone's happy, that your team is clicking, you have good chemistry, and obviously you need Jokic to run a few laps or some suicides or something. But I wouldn't jump the gun. I don't think they've been disappointing compared to like Sacramento or the Bulls.
Oh, they're not nearly as that bad, but I'm looking more at, like you said, you know, they only lost to the Mavericks and the Pelicans, whatever, it's not that big of a deal. But the games that they won against Phoenix, Sacramento, and Orlando, they looked awful out there. Like Sacramento, I think they were losing in 3 of the 4 quarters, and then they just turned on the Jets at the end. Phoenix, they had to win in overtime and only won by 1 point. Orlando, they scored 91 points and won. So that means both teams were sluggish. Right?
Yeah.
But the fact that they're coming out sluggish is the worrisome part because they're so deep. Usually if you're that deep, you can have like one or two guys be sluggish and the bench makes up for it.
Yeah, but I think...
But in this case, it's not even happening.
I think the problem, like as a Denver fan, like you can probably explain this to me, but like I can see their starting five, but I don't know who's their 6th, 7th, and 8th man. Like, I really don't. And I don't think the players on the team know. I don't know if the roles are established. I think you have Jamal Murray And even at the two, like, you're going to probably start Jamal Murray, Gary Harris. Then you have Jokic, Millsap. And then at the small forward position, you're probably starting Jeremy Grant.
No, it's been Barton.
Barton, okay.
Barton's been consistent. When he's been healthy, it's been him.
Yeah, but again, like, that's that whole, like, who's your fifth, sixth, seventh? That's not determined because your team is eight or nine deep. Like, there's a good case to be made that, like, Beasley or Craig or Barton or Michael Porter or Jeremy Grant, like, all those five players really want to crack the starting lineup.
Yeah, yeah. I totally agree. They might be too deep for their own good. It doesn't look like they're as hungry this year. That's what I'm more worried about.
I also think Paul Millsap, they're in a tough...
Okay, the obvious joke here is, they are pretty hungry, but only one guy's eating right now.
Yeah, too easy.
Yeah, that was...
You know what he looks like now? I think Jokic looks like Oliver Miller.
Yo, relax. He's not Oliver Miller fat, okay?
I don't know, man. He's getting there.
No, come on, man. Oliver Miller looks like... You know those, like, memes of that fat guy who dribbles the ball stupidly with the goggles on? Throws up some stupid-ass shots. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah, I'll send it to you after. You'll know exactly who I'm talking about when I send it.
Okay.
Oliver Miller looks like Mark Henry from WWF back in the day.
And Jokic looks like the Serbian Mark Henry, then. Like, there's a reason why he doesn't tuck his jersey in.
Good observation.
Yeah, well, no one tucks their jersey in, man. Come on now.
Like, he's wearing his jersey loose, obviously, and his shorts are probably, like, down to his ankles, because he doesn't want people to see how fat he is. If he wore, like, a, you know, skin-tight shirt, that shirt is going to break.
You're calling Nikola Jokic the kid at the public swimming pool who wears a t-shirt around.
Oh, no doubt. He definitely wears a t-shirt at the pool.
Man, this poor guy. All he did was party this summer, and now we're all ragging on him.
I'd like to point out that in the game they're just playing right now, he has 3 fouls in 9 minutes.
God damn, man. He's killing my fantasy team.
The laziness is definitely because of his fitness.
It's contagious.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now you know who we're disappointed with, who we're pleasantly surprised with. So I think I'm going to call it here, guys. Unless you have any final words.
Please. Anybody? Don't.
Well... Go ahead, sorry.
Please don't let it be Jaren Jackson next, please. I beg you, Adam Silver.
Myers Leonard.
And like Nikola Jokic, I am out to get a late night snack.
Oh, god damn. All right, I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Anchor, all the major podcast platforms. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Stretch4Pod. And until next time... Peace.